1 Timothy 6:7 reminds us that we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. And that's why hearses never have trailer hitches. Hi, I'm Rob West. How much do you love your stuff? Today we'll consider a biblical perspective on material possessions. And then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, from the time we're children and well into adulthood, we attach ourselves to our possessions. Ultimately, the love of stuff leads to discontentment, but God's Word shows us a better way. You see, God made us with the capacity to love as a reflection of His own character and His image in us. He wants us to love Him first and best, putting all other affections in proper perspective. A materialistic attitude goes against God's good plan for His people because it puts the love of material things ahead of loving God. The Bible makes it clear that wrong attitudes like materialism can hinder your relationship with God and destroy your peace. You may not even realize how much your love of things is affecting you because it's so easy to rationalize. Have you ever thought, I need this thing to make me happy, or life will be better if I have this thing? As Ecclesiastes 2:11 warns us, this kind of thinking is futile. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun. Let's look at three lies materialism tells us and the biblical answer to those lies. Lie number one, life is better when you have more. This lie is subtle because having more stuff does make life easier in some ways. But once you start on the more is better road, well, you can never be satisfied. And then life actually becomes more miserable. Ecclesiastes 5:10 confirms this. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. The answer to this lie is contentment. Hebrews 13:5 encourages us to keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. All right, here's materialism lie number two. You must keep up with what other people have. The desire to have what the neighbors have or live like someone you see on social media is a materialist trap. In fact, there will always be someone who has more than you, which makes envy a treadmill of unhappiness. The answer to this lie is godly peace found in knowing Jesus. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, "Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Materialism lie number three, it's not fair when other people have things you can't afford. Blaming others for your circumstances just combines discontentment with lack of responsibility. The antidote to this attitude of materialistic self-pity is a commitment to believing and doing what's true. As it says in 1 John 3:22, whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. It's pretty clear that a materialistic mindset is displeasing to God. The Lord is willing and able to provide for His children when they trust Him, but materialism can really get in the way of your relationship with God. Okay, so we've looked at the ways people get trapped by the lies of materialism, but does that mean it's wrong or sinful to want things? Not necessarily. The Bible makes it clear that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But if you have the right attitude about money as a means, not an end in itself, well, you'll have a right perspective about things as well. A right perspective about things includes knowing the difference between what you want and what you need. You can always trust God to provide what you need. When you have a spending plan, the things you want or need can be considered in light of the resources God has given you. If you don't have a spending plan, well, we can help. Just visit us online at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com and download the FaithFi app. By the way, when you plan ahead, you can make wise choices about saving and working to pay for what you need. This helps you avoid going into debt for impulse purchases. And finally, if you're considering a purchase and you're not sure if it's a want or a need, pray. Wait 30 days and check again. you might find your desires have changed. Material possessions are a part of life, but what you do with your desire for things is a heart issue. Avoid materialism by putting God first. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus speaks to Christians in ancient Smyrna, modern-day Turkey. The church there was being slandered, imprisoned, they faced persecution, the watching world considered them poor. And yet, these Christians were rich. Jesus said so. And it was something that could only be seen through the eyes of faith. Jesus encouraged them in Revelation 2, verse 10. He said, "Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown." It still holds true. Believers all over the world today face poverty, mistreatment, and persecution, all for the sake of Christ. But such things are temporary. In Christ, we are truly rich. Get daily encouragement from God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners, LTD, and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services, LLC.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to take your calls and questions today. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. Hey, Jerry Boyer is going to stop by a little later in the broadcast to update us on the markets and the economy. Producer prices signaling inflation pressures are not relenting. That's right. Wholesale prices in the U.S. accelerated again in February. This is the latest sign that inflation pressures in the economy remain elevated and may not cool in the coming months as fast as the Federal Reserve or the Biden administration would like. The Labor Department said yesterday that its producer price index, PPI, which tracks inflation before it reaches consumers, rose 0.6% from January to February. That's up from a 0.3% rise the previous month. Now, measured year over year, producer prices rose by 1.6% in February. That's the most since last September. these figures could present a challenge for the Fed, which meets next week and is counting on cooling inflation as it considers when to cut its benchmark interest rate, which, by the way, now is at a 23-year high. They, of course, raised rates 11 times in 22 and 23 to fight high inflation. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll talk to Jerry Boyer about it a little later in the broadcast, find out what he's thinking, but certainly not the news that the Fed was looking for or the Biden administration is looking for. We didn't need to tell you that. You're feeling that every day when you go to make purchases. But how is that going to affect our economy, the potential of a recession this year? Jerry will weigh in on all of that just ahead. All right, taking your calls and questions, I've got two lines open today, 800-525-7000. Let's start in Tennessee today with David. Go ahead, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me? How you doing? Let me step outside.
All righty.
I had a question for your commentator, the guy who takes calls. And I'm at a point where a friend needs help getting a car for her family and all to get around, school, and her mother's sick with COVID. Not COVID, I'm sorry, with COPD.
Okay.
And she needs a cash car. We done tried financing. That don't work because you got to have license, insurance, and registration. So she's in a predicament, and I know it, and I can help her. Yeah. My question is, to get a decent cash car, it's going to cost at least $2,000 to $3,000.
Yeah.
She has $600, and I'm going to have to come up with the rest. Should I help her and give God the thanks for it?
Well, I love that idea. As we look at our opportunity to take a portion of what God has entrusted to us, yeah, we're to enjoy it. Yes, we're to provide, but we're absolutely to use it to be a part of God's activity here on earth. And one of the ways that we do that this side of heaven is by giving and giving generously to meet needs around us. And if you have the ability, David, I love the idea of you stepping in and providing this blessing to this person who is in need, without a doubt. I mean, there are times where we need to exercise discernment over our giving to make sure that we're not somehow stepping in the way of what God might be doing. We don't want to necessarily always rescue someone in a way that might not allow them to confront bigger issues that might be going on. But at the same time, if you've prayed about this, the Holy Spirit is leading you to do this. You have the ability to do it. I love the idea of you blessing her in a lavish way that would meet a real physical need. And I think that's a beautiful picture of what the body of Christ should do as we look at God's resources entrusted to us as a tool to accomplish his purposes. Now, thinking through the implications of that and making sure that there, you know, is a way that she can receive this gift and actually use it, meaning, you know, what does the rest of her budget look like? Is she able to get insurance on it? Is this, something that, she'll be able to maintain? Are you able to get something that, you know, is going to be fairly reliable? All of those things that go along with it, because we know a car purchase brings with it a lot of other expenses. And yet, this could be an absolute blessing that could allow her to continue to receive treatment and get to doctor's appointments, even potentially work if she is. So I love this idea a lot, David, if you feel like you've prayed through it and this is the direction the Lord is leading.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I think that eased my mind a lot. I'm not worried about it. It's to the point where I don't do the things I used to do. I used to throw away God's money, but now I help people. I've changed.
That's great. Well, you're being the hands and feet of Jesus, David, as you are open to the leading of the Lord and using money in a way that I think puts a smile on the face of God. So thank you for being on the program, sir. I'm confident you've spurred others on today to giving in their own lives, and I'm grateful for that. May the Lord bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's go to Mississippi. Catherine, you'll be next up. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
And thank you for your ministry. You helped out with us about a year and a half ago, and we really appreciate it. And it's kind of involving the same person, our son. So we have a financial question as well as there's a moral component to it also. So I'll get to the moral part afterwards.
Okay.
When you were helping us make a decision with our son before, he had gotten himself into some credit card debt, and you had suggested a Christian financial counseling service, and actually that sprung him into action, and he went into a real good regimen, and he had it almost paid off. And then a car, old car we had given him, died, and so he purchased a new car and for the first time got a car loan. And because of that and some other debt, he still has his credit card debt of a couple thousand. And he also has now a car loan, which is $8,000 also. In the meantime, my father, when he was when our son was born, had bought him some stock for in a very famous fast food restaurant, which had done very well. And we got a call about that because my name is on that also, since he was a baby at the time. And they would be being changed slightly, and that there could be, if we needed it, a cash component to that, which would cover all of this debt, which is about $10,000 worth. And so I thought I shared that news with my son, and he said, well, you know, I've got my path, and I'm, you know, I've got myself into debt, and I'm just going to plow away. But he has no emergency fund or any kind of savings or backup, because he's using every penny to pay off this debt and then to live. So I was wondering if we should go ahead and use that money to pay off these debts, and that way he can get on his feet and then start his emergency fund going. And still have some of the stock. It's not all of it.
Okay. Yeah, and you broke up there for a second. What was it that they contacted you about related to the stocks? What's happening?
Yeah, apparently something changed with the stock. Maybe it was the company that it was held under originally. But there would be a big cash component. We could take the cash and still have the stock also reinvested or invested.
Very good. Let's do this. That was helpful background, Catherine. I'm going to take a break and give you my thoughts on the other side. We'll be right back.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, we'll hear the story of a Romanian man who came to faith in Christ and how that decision changed everything.
My mother sent me away. He's saying, you're not my child anymore. So for a few months, I stay with brothers in the local church, in their houses, you know. So it's a price you pay for your faith.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the perfect opportunity to prepare for God's calling on your life. It's easy to make excuses why you can't pursue what God has called you to do, but this program removes those barriers. Flexible class options, an affordable cost, and highly trusted professors. WBS is the school for you, and now is the time to take a next step and prepare for God's calling on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Catherine in Mississippi. Her son has some credit card debt and a car loan. He's been making some progress on that credit card debt using Christian credit counselors. But she was reminded, Catherine, that there is an account of some stocks, highly concentrated in one fast food company that was given by, I think, a grandfather to the son. Her name is actually listed on the account as well. That totals about twice what the total debt is, and she's wondering if she should direct her son to liquidate a portion of that or take a portion of it and pay off those debts and then be out of debt so that he can start building an emergency fund. And Catherine, a quick question. You said he was in a program with Christian credit counselors. Is he still in that and making those payments every month?
No, he was making his payments on his own then. He didn't need the Christian counseling service.
I see.
He was doing
okay.
Just fine. So
okay. That, very good. And he's down to $2,000 there. Now, you said he's putting every available dollar toward the car and the credit card debt. Is he accelerating either of those payments beyond their minimums?
Yes. Yes, he is. Yes, he's doing he's doing as much as he can. But because of that, he only has a few hundred dollars left every month, left over at the very most, and he's not been able to build a emergency fund at all.
Okay, and do you know roughly how much extra he's sending a month between the two of them combined?
I think it's pretty significant. It was on the credit card. I think the credit card was only like a couple of hundred, and he was doing 500. So, and I think the I'm not sure about the car. Not sure. Yeah. He may just be making the minimum because car loans are hefty. And
yes, very good.
And he said it would take him 5 years to pay off the car.
I see. Okay, very good. Well, here's the thing. I mean, I would love for him to build up that emergency fund, not fully fund it. I like to use this number of $1,500 while you have credit card debt to get into an emergency fund. And the idea there is we want to break the cycle of the spending on the credit cards. And so by having that $1,500 cushion, that allows you to weather a pretty substantial unexpected expense. You don't go ahead and build it all the way to 3 to 6 months expenses like we would ultimately want, but it allows him to have something to fall back on when the unexpected comes so he doesn't have to use those credit cards anymore. Sounds like he's learned his lesson. He's got a real commitment to get out of debt. He's obviously demonstrated that he's willing and able to live within his means to the point where he's accelerating this payoff pretty significantly. That's great. I love that idea. And if he just continues on the current track, it sounds like that in the next 5 months, that credit card debt's going to be gone anyway. So I'm wondering if perhaps he just stays on this track. And then as soon as that's done, you know, assuming he can go ahead and get that $1,500 in place at a minimum, then he could start attacking that car loan. Here's kind of the priority order I would look at. I would say, let's build up the $1,500, then let's go after the credit card debt, and then let's start working on that 3 to 6 months expenses in the emergency fund. Once he gets to 3 months, then I would say let's put every dollar on the car loan. And I think that momentum of seeing, okay, now the credit card debt is gone. I've got an emergency fund, either partially or fully funded. And now I'm on to my car loan. He's going to get a lot of just boost from that psychologically. Like, I can do this and I'm making some real progress. And then if he has earned income, I might look at trying to take the stock position that he has you know, if I know your name is on it, but if the intent is this was his money, even though you were on it as well, maybe he was a minor when he got it. But if the idea was always that this is his money, then perhaps he sells that position. He needs to understand the tax consequences and then starts contributing to a Roth IRA with that money that could then be invested and maximize the compounding effect of that money growing over the next 30 or 40 years, which is going to be, you know, a substantial nest egg down the road, especially if he were to keep that up. So I'm less inclined to pay this, you know, rush in and pay it off. I kind of like the disciplines he's establishing right now by doing that out of cash flow. And let's get this this stock portfolio into a tax-free growth environment through the Roth. And now all of a sudden, at the same time he's paying off his debt and building his emergency fund, he sees something growing for the future in the Roth. I kind of feel like that's the best of both worlds. Give me your thoughts.
Wow, that's a lot to process. That's great, great advice. I hadn't thought of it quite in those terms. But you're right. I think that when he saw the credit card debt going down and paying extra on it really boosted his confidence. And it was just kind of bad timing that the old car died and he had to assume a car loan, which he'd never done before. And he is very dedicated to, you know, he's living very frugally and he's very dedicated to trying to get rid of this debt. And he said it would take him 5 years to get rid of the car debt. So it's a slow process, real slow.
Well, and I suspect, though, that it may not take that long. I mean, if let's say 8 months from now, he's got $1,500 in an emergency fund and the credit card debt is gone, and now he's putting $500 plus per month extra on that car, you know, he may pay it off in 3 years. I mean, so there may be some progress there. I think the big idea of what I'm suggesting is I don't want to short circuit the incredible learning experience he's having of the disciplined approach to debt reduction and keeping his margin, his surplus every month going toward productive purposes. And I feel like we're going to short circuit a little bit of that learning if we just come in and wipe it out with the stocks.
You know, that was our fear about that. That, you know, it's very hard when it's your child to not want to give them everything, or if they get a windfall, say, oh, great, take it and erase all that debt. And then, you know, you're free. But there's nothing that really helps as much as the learning of being in debt and getting out of debt.
That's exactly right. Well, listen, you're a great mom, Catherine. Stay on the line. I want to send you a book for you to pass along to him as a gift. It's called Your Money Counts from our friend Howard Dayton. I think it'll be a good primer to biblical money management. That'll be a real encouragement to him. And don't miss the opportunity to think about, if he has earned income, selling that stock position and getting it more diversified inside a Roth IRA, growing for his future. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, Faith and Finance is listener-supported, which just simply means if you've found some benefit in this program, you're a part of the Faith and Finance family. That's a lot of F's, by the way. And maybe you've found some benefit in the principles or wisdom shared from God's Word on this program, and you'd like to support our work, we'd certainly be grateful. It'll help us reach more stewards with this message of God's wisdom for managing His money. Just head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and click Give at the top of the page. You'll find a way to give online, over the phone, or through the mail. That's faithfi.com. Just click Give, and thanks in advance. All right, we're going to head back to the phones. By the way, Jerry Boyer joining us in the next segment. We'll get his take on the PPI, the Producer Price Index, which is showing that inflation is proving stickier than the Biden administration or the Federal Reserve would like. We'll get Jerry's thoughts on that just around the corner. And we're continuing to take your questions today. I've got some lines open, perhaps one just for you at 800-525-7000. You can call right now. All right, let's go to Mississippi. Hi, Rose. How can I help you? Hi, Rose. Are you there?
Yes.
Very good. I'm here.
I purchased a place that I knew required a lot of work. Okay. I don't know if the appraisal was supposed to show the places of the damage of the home. It's a beautiful piece of property, but the house that's on it has some serious issues, mold, foundation problems.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what to do to repair the place for future use by my grandchildren, maybe. That's the reason why I came here from Omaha, Nebraska, to reunite with them, to help them. I'm saved. I love God. And I know that the answers I get from above will be the correct answers. I'm in good health. I can take care of myself. As far as my income is concerned, I don't overindulge in anything. My car is paid for. So I just want, I would like to finish paying for this place. And I'd like to fix it so that it's livable for the future for my loved ones, neighbors, those that I love, the church, whatever, wherever it ends up. I want it to be fit and safe.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate that, Rose, and I understand those issues are concerning, both that you mentioned, the mold as well as the structural issues, which can be very costly to rectify. I'm concerned first and foremost for you if you're living in that situation, especially with the mold. I mean, the structural damage or defects, you know, can be problematic over time, you know, foundation issues, walls or ceilings with cracks, but those, you know, typically, although expensive, don't pose any kind of immediate risk unless there's something really extensive. But the mold issue obviously is one that really needs to be taken care of as soon as possible, the remediation for your health. Have you had anyone out to look at the extent of both of these issues, both the structural and the mold issue, and given you a bid for rectifying these?
Not the mold issue, well, not the structural issue, but the mold issue. And when I went to Dr. Adonica Rodney Brown's service just a few days ago, I was introduced to a machine that will keep the air clean for me in this place while I'm here. So, yes, I have. That was a godsend to go to a Christian meeting, a God meeting, and find that answer. So okay. I've already ordered it, and I've already received it just day before yesterday.
Okay. I would just challenge you, Rose, to get somebody out there that is a specialist in mold remediation that can understand the extent of the mold that's in your home, just to make sure that you are in fact safe, because the extent to which an older home has quite a bit of mold, you know, even a device like that may not be enough to keep you safe. So I'd love for you to understand, you know, what the extent of this problem is. Now, in terms of where you go from here, are you planning on staying in this home for the foreseeable future?
If I can keep my health, yes, sir. And Olsham, if you don't mind me calling out the company name, did come and give me an estimate concerning some of the mold, because he didn't go through the all the under areas of the house. He just showed me a picture of one area.
Okay. All right. So you've got a couple of options here. Number one is you could sell the home and find another place to live. You'd have to disclose both the structural damage and the mold that you're aware of, which is obviously going to affect the selling price. The second option is you could try to remedy the situation over time, starting with the most pressing issue, which would be the mold, bring a company in to do a full evaluation of the property and give you a bid for full remediation of the mold, which is going to be expensive. And you could borrow either with a conventional loan to do that, either a line of credit or a home equity loan, or you could get a reverse mortgage, which would allow you to take some of the value of your home to pay for this, but you would not have a payment. It would have to be paid from the value of the home when it was sold at your death, or if you moved out of it, out of the proceeds of the sale. Now, a lot of times we try to set up a situation where our heirs can keep a home, and typically, I'm not saying this is the case in your situation, but typically they don't want it because they have their own home and they don't have the ability to keep another house and maintain it and all the taxes and the insurance and the maintenance, especially with an older home like that, unless a family member is planning to move into it. What typically happens is they sell it. And so in the case of a reverse mortgage, the benefit there is you get the money out of the home, the equity, to pay for it to be safe for you to live in, but you don't have a payment, which doesn't impact your monthly cash flow. And then, as I mentioned, whatever you borrow for the mold remediation, and let's say you went ahead and did the structural repairs, that amount would grow over time because there would be interest on it and some fees. But whatever that grew to at your death, let's say, when that home was sold, then the proceeds of the home sale would pay the mortgage first, the reverse mortgage, and then whatever's left would be given to either your heirs or charity or both. So I think those are your options. Sell it, get a conventional mortgage, or get a reverse mortgage. But what I don't want you to do is continue to live in an unsafe situation. But give me your thoughts on all that, Rose.
I agree, although I'm not. It's not all of that. It's not soaking in. However, why? I've only been here 5 years. Why didn't the appraiser find that problem?
That's a good question. So normally, one of the most serious inspection issues that can affect appraisals is structural damage or defects. And that includes foundations, walls, ceilings, sagging floors, water damage, mold, even termites. So they do affect the appraised value of the home. It could be that they missed it. I don't know. That's a good question. But normally that would affect the appraisal. So I think the next step is to figure out, where you go from here, from one of those three options. If we can help with that, please let us know. I just want you to stay safe as the paramount consideration as you move forward. Thank you for being on the program today. May the Lord bless you. Back with your questions after this. Stay with us.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
My grocery bill went up 11% this year. Gas, utilities, rent, all went up. But my paycheck, the same. I also pay for my own healthcare, a huge expense. A friend recommended Christian Healthcare Ministries as an option to insurance, and CHM helps pay for medical needs while allowing some breathing room in my budget. Open enrollment is here, so make the switch today with potential cost savings up to 40%. Christian Healthcare Ministries at chministries.org/faithfi.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open. We will have time for one or two more questions before we round out the broadcast today. 800-525-7000. But first, our good friend Jerry Boyer's here. It's a Friday where he joins us with his market commentary and economic analysis. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to hear your voice. All right, Jerry, Thursday, the Labor Department says PPI, Producer Price Index, which obviously is inflation before it reaches consumers, was up 0.6% January to February. What do you make of that? Obviously, inflation isn't going away.
No, I mean, that's a serious inflation number. That's something like, almost twice the historic average for U.S. inflation. So inflation isn't going away. And you know that. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
The Fed created far too much money in order for this inflation to run off quickly. So the vast amounts of money that are created, I mean, from the Great Recession to a couple of years ago, basically, 10 times its balance sheet. I mean, that's wow. Amazing. Nothing like that has ever happened before in American history. And so that inflation isn't going to leave quickly. I mean, I find it kind of interesting. The president just had given the State of the Union speech the week before bragging about how inflation had fallen.
Right.
So I'm not hearing any clarifications being released this week. And we talked last week about how that was not really a very good brag, because if inflation goes from 2% to 9% and then down to 4%, That's not good.
No.
You know? Well, okay, it went from 9 to 4, or 3.5. Well, yeah, but it went to 9 before that. And so those, by the way, that doesn't, when it comes down to 4, that doesn't mean prices went back to normal. I mean, you know, things cost 20% more than they did when President Biden took office. So lower inflation isn't deflation. So, we just went grocery shopping yesterday. Prices have not gone down to before.
Right.
They're just not going up as quickly as they were going up before. So then this week, the CPI was the day before yesterday, and then the CPI is basically consumer. The other one is wholesale, and they're both up. They're both they're not super high, crazy high like they were before. And that's what we've talked about, is that we're kind of in a 1970s situation. Those who are old enough, like me, will remember this. That's called stagflation. We have the same policy mix. We have the same kind of leadership. Therefore, we're getting the same result. And that's why we see things like gold going above 2,100. That's serious. And your Bitcoin has been an incredibly well-performing asset class. And Bitcoin is essentially a bet outside our entire financial system. So if markets are going up, people say things must be good. It's like, no, not necessarily. Because if the Fed is pumping money into the system and you have an inflationary environment and the hedges against disaster are going up too, then that indicates that maybe markets aren't going up because the economy is getting better, but markets are going up because the central bank essentially has its thumb on the scale and is pushing them up.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Jerry, what is stagflation, and is that what's going on right now?
Yeah, so stag for stagnation, meaning low growth, and flation meaning, you know, inflation. So that stagnation doesn't necessarily have to be a technical recession. It can just be low growth. What we had in the 70s is a couple of shallow recessions and not very good recoveries. I as you know, I've argued that basically a year ago we had a recession, a year and a half ago we had a recession. If you look at gross output, which is the entire economy, that actually went negative for 3 quarters in a row. So the overall economy shrank. And then it kind of bounced back a little bit last year, and I think we're kind of slowing down again now. So that's the stagnation that we face. Now, John Maynard Keynes said that the way to fight inflation is to slow down the economy. That's why in the 1970s, when we had stagflation, that was the rise of supply side economics, because people said, well, wait a minute. You say that we can fight inflation by slowing down the economy, but we did slow down the economy and we still have inflation.
Right.
Maybe things don't work the way you think, Ivy League economists, and we're kind of in that situation now. We have slowed down the economy. The economy is slower than average, and we still have higher than average inflation. So slowing the economy doesn't actually fight inflation. But the economic model that has taken hold in American prestige universities, and which basically governs the Fed and the policymaking apparatus, they believe that, and so that's why they keep trying to slow down the economy to fight inflation. And that's why it keeps not working, because it's not the way God created the world. God didn't create the world in such a way that we will solve our economic problems by making ourselves poorer. God did not create the world in such a way that we'll solve our inflation problem by working less or being less productive or learning less or starting fewer businesses or not growing as quickly. God created us to work and be productive and grow. That's the solution to the problem. And if we get ourselves so backwards in our head that we think that's the problem, that's how we end up in bad economic situations like we are now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Jerry, speaking of the way God created us, you and I have talked a lot recently just about God creating us to be productive and how work fits into God's creation plan and economics and economic expansion. We talked about the book that your friend David Bahnsen has wrote recently on this topic. Despite that, Jerry, Senator Bernie Sanders and the Senate Democrats apparently don't want you working more than 32 hours this week, and they're citing AI and automation and, I guess, soaring corporate profits to justify this. What are your thoughts on that in light of a biblical worldview?
My thoughts are it is exactly the opposite of a biblical worldview. And, of course, Bernie Sanders is, I think, the first presidential candidate who is an atheist, and he's got atheist economics. Atheist economics thinks we're cattle, not workers. right? We're just there to vote for them. And then we're going to get our universal basic income. We're going to get our welfare check. We're going to get our Obamacare or whatever, and not produce. I do not understand how someone can get so backwards in their thinking that they think we're better off if we work less. Just think about how crazy that is. Working is what we're made to do. God made and worked. God worked. He rested from, he did rest, so we shouldn't work all the time. We're made in God's image, so we're supposed to imitate him. 6 days he worked, and then he rested. We're supposed to work. Those ratios sound pretty good to me, actually. So maybe we ought to be working more. Now, of course, you still do work on Saturdays. You might do work around the house or whatever. But we're not an underworking society. Excuse me, we're not an overworking society. We're an underworking society. We're not imitating God fully in our work. And by the way, we're not really imitating him fully in our rest either. So we have to have times of work, and we have to work hard, and working hard is important. The book of Proverbs it treats a sluggard as someone who should be ashamed of being a sluggard. Have you ever heard a sermon against laziness in your life? I never have, but it's a constant theme in the book of Proverbs and even actually throughout the rest of the Bible. And essentially, when the government comes along and puts a cap on the number of hours that you should work and then basically pays you not to work, it essentially is fighting God's creation order. Now, you can fight God's creation order in the same sense that you can step up onto your porch roof and you can fight gravity by jumping off, but it's not. But gravity will still work. Yes. Gravity works whether you believe in it or not. The fundamental laws of economics that we're supposed to work and produce and fill the earth and subdue it, those work when we follow them by bringing prosperity, and they work when we violate them by bringing poverty. And I think that's what we're learning as a country now, as our economy just sort of sputters along. And no matter what the president said, the American people do not believe this is a good economy. And it isn't. We know it. We can see it. And we know something's wrong. We might not all be economists and be able to pinpoint exactly what it is, but we all know something's wrong with our economic system.
Yeah, that's right. Jerry, final word. Where should we go from here? What is your prayer as you think about the future economically of this country?
Well, I think mostly not about the country, but about the church, because we're supposed to be the example system, right? So what I think about, I mean, it is a wonderful experience for me when I come on your show and they put me on and I can listen, but you're still taking phone calls before you get to me. So they always apologize. Hey, Rob has a few questions. You know, he's got Maria on the line or whatever. He's got a few questions. He'll get to you in a moment. And I say, don't rush, because one of the most encouraging things I hear in my week is ordinary Christians coming to you to get good advice so that they can be financially stable, so that they can be load-bearing structures in their life, be economically productive, and be able to handle when hard times come along, because hard times will continue to come along until we get better leaders. So I can't control the leaders. I'll vote. We all vote. Most of the time, the people I vote for don't win, so I'm not mostly influencing the world through my vote. I'm mostly influencing the world as a business owner, as a husband, as a father, as a pop-pop, and as a church member. And I think that's, you know, kind of where it is. We have to lead, and we have to be ready, and then when crisis comes, we can point the way out.
I love it. That's a great place for us to finish today. Jerry, go enjoy your weekend as you rest and work around the house and be a great pop-pop, okay?
I will.
All right. Bless you, my friend. Tell Susan hello, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Will do.
All right. That's the voice of Jerry Boyer. He's our resident economist. You can imagine that I always look forward to our visit with Jerry for just the reason you had the opportunity to listen to wise counsel rooted in biblical wisdom with a lot of good thinking on top of it. Folks, what a privilege it's been to journey with you yet another week here on American Family Radio to encourage you, to hopefully uplift you, to point you back to God's Word, to help you tackle some of the decisions you're facing today, and even to hear some of your celebrations, the victories that you have along the way. It's my great privilege. I can't do this without my amazing team that includes Mr. Jerry Boyer that you just heard, but also the team pushing all the buttons, making the things happen here today. That would include Robert Youngblood on our phones, on research today, Mr. Jim Henry, and our producer, Devin Patrick, plus all the other folks on the FaithFi team that make this possible every day. You can support this work at faithfi.com. Click give. If you want to check out our new study on the parable of the rich fool, click shop. If you want to download the FaithFi app to manage your budget, click app. Otherwise, have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.